Welcome to the Neo-Narcissism Podcast, hosted by emotional intelligence specialist Kimberly Weeks and strategic psychotherapist Brad Kaufman.
Welcome back, everyone. Today's episode, we're bridging a little bit from something we hinted to in our last episode. And so Brad and I today want to talk to you about loving your love out when it comes to the narcissist.
Yes, because we showed up in the realm of love. And so we invested ourselves into this person at that level of love. And because of that, it's not like we can just turn it off. We are not a robot, right? For our listeners, you are not a robot. So if you genuinely poured yourself into this relationship with the family member, with the loved one, with the partner, whoever it may be, like I was saying, you just can't turn it off. So, and it's very difficult after a discard or after major violations to still carry this sense of love for a person who betrayed you or violated you so deeply. And so, as we've talked about before, this creates a lot of emotional dissonance and cognitive dissonance, where most people don't know what to do with it, right? Because, again, as we discussed in our last episode, we end up judging ourselves for being ourselves.
Right. For pouring so much in, potentially feeling like a fool, which we talked about a little bit on the last episode, which you were not, in case you haven't listened to that yet. And maybe even a bit angry that you gave so much and it was so betrayed, so dishonored. So how do you now carry, you're still carrying all this love for this person and maybe battling in your head that I shouldn't love them. How do I not love them anymore? And trying to force this new way of being rather than maybe looking at what this process actually is. Again, we referenced before, oftentimes people who find themselves in this situation have really deep hearts. And that's a really beautiful trait. We want to maintain that. We need more of that. So how do you allow the depth of that heart, meaning also the depth of that pain, to actually play through so that you love your love out? And why that process versus, I just want to stop loving them and do a new thing?
Well, you can attempt to do that, right? It takes a lot of distraction.
Denial.
So, but essentially it will catch up to you, right? If your heart is genuinely wired to love and you genuinely love this person, and invested and imparted that deeper part of yourself into the relationship, it doesn't just stop, right? So whether there's a violation or not, the violation is irrelevant to the love. The love is too powerful. Now, that doesn't mean that the violation isn't highly traumatic or impacting, but it doesn't automatically turn off the love. Now, ideally, it would be really nice if it could, because then you wouldn't have to do the work to process it all the way through.
I feel the pain of that. But I think there's something about acknowledging the fact that it is so painful is a marker of how beautifully you love. So, you know, maybe also seeing it with that in mind as well, right? That you are somebody who loves in that way and that you want to maintain. So in order to maintain that, you actually need to do the process, because if you don't, you're actually hindering your ability and how you're naturally designed and that gift of your heart to the next person and to everybody else in your life. So it's important to find when the time is right, to find the time to allow that process to happen. Allow yourself to feel your way through the pain of that.
Well, and of course, that's where the saying comes from, you know, or I guess it's kind of posed more as a question. Is it better to have loved and lost than to not have loved at all? You know, and when you experience the pain, it's like, wow, is the love really worth it? And then you recognize that love is both the problem, but at the same time, the solution. Because you can't remove yourself from it, so you have to just go with it for what it is. So you're kind of, you know, as soon as you open your heart up to loving somebody in that way, you're on the love train. Mm-hmm. And so there's really no jumping off, even though, as I was saying, you may wish to.
Cue the love train music. Yeah.
So, and yeah, there's a line in a show my kids were watching. It said, "What is grief if not love enduring?" Right? Ooh. So, and I would kind of say that, what is grief and the pain if not love enduring? Right? So the recognition that the door you open on love is, if you're a genuine-hearted person, it is going to endure anything. Because as you love unconditionally, it doesn't matter what happens, it will persevere. So now, of course, we start to recognize when somebody is violating towards that openness of love that we're actually providing. And as you said in the last episode, can they protect your heart as well as you can? If you're opening up to love, you're opening your heart up to them and you're trusting that they can protect your heart as well as you can. And when they prove that they don't protect your heart, you have to reclaim that. But again, it doesn't automatically shut the love off. So the loving the love out is, even after the violation or even after the discard, there's still this high level of invested, persevering, enduring love. And what are you supposed to do with it?
What are you supposed to do with it? Yeah. I really love how the imagery you put around this of the love itself endures and perseveres. And again, recognizing the separation between love and relationship. So one of the things that you also mentioned that I wanted to go back to is when you quoted, is it better to have loved and lost than, or to never have loved at all? I mean, it might seem easier to never love at all if you have to endure that kind of pain again, but there's something really magical about once you work through this healing process and you've really loved, you may not have actually been loved well back. And so I think this is where there can be a disconnect of like, well, why would I love again? If you've never experienced what it's like to be well loved. So when you go through this healing process of the wounds, what you'll start to see is your capacity to love hasn't changed. Maybe it's deepened, but it hasn't lessened. But what it's done is it's actually given you a point of reference to what being well loved really means. So your choice of who you engage in with again in a loving relationship will look very different. But I don't think that happens without actually walking through this process.
Hmm. So, and like you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, the way you love becomes a model for the love that you can really expect in return from a healthy relationship.
I think so.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And it gives you markers of what you actually need, desire, want, that will fill you up and honor that space of love that you can hold.
Yeah, it really has to be reciprocal.
Mm-hmm.
And in the relationship with the narcissist, what we get tricked into is believing that it is reciprocal because they can love bomb.
Yeah.
So we have that experience of, wow, I'm well loved, I'm well valued, I'm desired.
Mm-hmm.
whatever term you want to put on it. Mm-hmm. So it feels like you're genuinely receiving what you're giving. And so it becomes so easy to just open yourself up to that. So, and yeah, we've talked about loving the love out on previous episodes, but we wanted to just really commit this episode to that because it's such an important part of the healing process. It's so important to recognize that when you open yourself up to that, it has to be processed all the way through. So when the discard happens or when you have to create the boundaries to preserve your health and well-being, there is that process, that residual process of letting the love move all the way through. So if you think of the person and love comes up, you can allow that to be there. You don't have to fight because there's a tendency to, oh, I shouldn't do that, or this person doesn't deserve that, or yes, this or that. Now, that may be true if you're measuring it as they don't deserve it because they weren't able to reciprocate it. But if you look at it from human to human, well, every human deserves love regardless. So you can just love it out, whether you perceive them to deserve it or not deserve it. You already opened the door, right? It's already flowing. It's already persevering, as I was talking about. So you have to let it persevere. Now, over time, what happens is as you just let the love flow through you, when it hits you, truth will also start to inform you. So at least in my personal experience, as the love moves through and out, and I hold space to allow that to happen, at the tail end of it comes the truth of that expression of love has come to an end. That relationship has come to an end. That experience has come to an end. And that truth informs you. So the next time you have it, and it becomes quicker and quicker and quicker, and there will always be an element of love persevering. So to just have the understanding that that's the way it's going to be. Now, over time, it will lessen and it doesn't feel as impactful. And a positive memory might hit you and that love might kind of flow through very quickly. But at the same time, you recognize it moves all the way through to the tail end very quickly. And it's like, oh, okay, there it is. And it just becomes like a blip on the radar. Whereas at the beginning of letting the process actually move its way through, it's very all-consuming, right? And like we were talking about, it's very painful to let the love run through when there's no outlet to put that, other than just the recognition that there's no longer a place to put it. I can't bestow that on that person because it's dangerous for me to do so.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to mark with that too is that you might have not only your own voice, but other people's voices saying, don't spend any time thinking about this person. Why would you love them when blah, 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 you know, the list of their violations. So there is somewhat of a disconnect of this being your process and about your process and your love. It's actually not about the narcissist and the person who hurt you. And it's not about other people's perspective of that. This is what is happening for and within you, and allowing that, like an open bleeding wound. You have to allow it sometimes to bleed, and you have to allow it to heal. So it's your process, and it's disconnected from the narcissist. The story is about them, but it's not for them or about them.
Because this is who you are. Mm. Because this is your love.
That's right.
Oh, you say that so well. That's so good. That this truly isn't about them. It truly is about your heart living itself out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's available for love again.
Yeah. Now, I will speak to the reality of this because a lot of people do have that noise in their ear, either from their internal self-talk or from, you know, external family, friends, people who love them, because mm-hmm. those that love you don't want to see you in pain. Yeah. And as you let the love flow through, they're going to see you with pain. You're going to experience the pain. And again, there can be a judgment on it. Well, this person violated me. This person treated me so poorly. I shouldn't, right? There's a big should or shouldn't. I shouldn't be loving them anymore. But it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. And language matters here too, because you're not pouring love into them. You're just experiencing the love that you hold for them. So to think that that's a tap we can just turn off, certainly more convenient. And sometimes temporarily we can, but, you know, eventually that's going to burst open. Mm-hmm. So that's just what we're talking about here, is giving yourself that permission to feel the love, minimize the judgment around that, because it's hard to not judge it for yourself. But if you can minimize that and be like, oh, this is just actually the process. This is not me loving them, not me pouring love into them. This is me experiencing the pain of my love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it goes back to the relationship with pain that we've talked about previously. And just being okay for the detox process to be a part of it. And following the love through is part of the detox process. If we put a block on that, we actually block the recovery. We actually block the healing. So, no, again, we don't have to sit there and try to muster up love. We don't have to sit there and do that type of thing. It's just, I'm just solely talking if the love for this person flows through you just at some random point or some unexpected point, allow that to flow through. I mean, yeah, especially after the violation and the discard and betrayal or whatever it is that you experience through them, there's going to be that anger piece and there's going to be that possible regret or resentment or challenge of figuring out who's responsible for what, and before you get that objective clarity that we talked about before. But this love piece is so pure, if you just hold the space for it, it will work itself through. And as I was saying, there will probably always be an element of it there, because love tends to persevere, but it will be quieter. You have so much better perspective on what it actually is. It feels more distant. And again, you get to take ownership of it. Like, you don't have to resent yourself for loving. That would be a tragedy in and of itself, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you wish that you could have seen things more clearly from the beginning? Well, yeah, absolutely. That's a piece of it too. But when we're talking about this love piece, yeah, no judgment needed.
So you carry on with your life as best you can when you're in the point to, you know, when this isn't necessarily like the week after discard, right? But you're going about your day and you have these little moments and these memories, or you're experiencing something and you have that feeling, and it might feel overwhelming at first. It might feel deep and big. And then over time, it becomes a little blip. Like you're talking about, she's like, oh yeah, I remember that. There's that feeling and the truth, and it's all in one moment, and it's a fraction of a second really, and it's done. So
no, I suspect there are going to be some listeners that are feeling or saying to themselves, I don't want to feel that. I don't want to love this person, right? It feels like a violation to myself or a betrayal to myself to love this person. Again, the responsibility of betrayal is on the betrayer. The responsibility of the violation is on the violator. The responsibility of love is on the one who loves. So you have to be very careful of what you're taking ownership for. So, yes, loving makes us vulnerable. That's the challenge of love. And it's just a difficult reality when it isn't honored, when somebody violates it, when somebody betrays the richness of what that is. Okay, there's not much else to say about it. I think the what and the how were kind of combined into each other on this one. And I'm sure the listeners are getting used to us saying, like, you have to receive the process and leave room for the process to happen. It is moving itself through, and you have to trust the process in that way. So when you do experience that love, leave yourself open to processing it all the way through. So on the tail end, you get the truth that you need to see. That will help your perspective. That will help you gain an objective, clear picture of the situation. Okay?
Okay.
So, as usual, you don't know how to deal with something until you know what you're dealing with. We'll see you next time.